Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're in Zichru Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem He. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brings a Malchokas Amoraim regarding squeezing pickled vegetables. Rav and Shmuel hold that the Malacha Mefarik, extracting, only applies to liquids that originally grew within the food. Therefore, squeezing pickled vegetables to get the liquid is only forbidden to do midrabanan, lest one comes to squeeze olives and grapes. Rav Yochanan holds that one is liable for extracting a beverage, even if it didn't originally come into existence within the fruit. Therefore, he says, one would be chai v'chatis mefarik if one squeezed pickled vegetables for their liquid. As part of this discussion, there's an additional malchokas between Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan regarding squeezing boiled vegetables. Point number two is taught in the Braisa regarding testimony. Ein eid mefi eid kasher ela eidus ishul bavad. A single witness that acquired his information from the mouth of a second single witness is not valid except with regard to testifying to the marital status of a woman. Rav Asi says that a single second-hand witness is also permitted to testify that a blemish in the mechor developed on its own and was not inflicted by a kohen who sought to make the meat permissible to consume. The Gemara asks that the above Braisa states that a single second-hand witness may only testify about the status of a married woman. So the Braisa was amended to read, La'edus sha'isha kasher la bilvad, except for testimony that a woman is also permitted to make, meaning that an eid mefi eid may testify about any situation that a woman is permitted to testify about, and a woman is allowed to testify about a bechor. And point number three, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba asked Rabbi Asi questions. Rabbi Asi answered them while Rabbi Yochanan was dozing. When Rabbi Yochanan awoke, he rejected the answers given and provided his own. He explained, the birds in Bavel are fatter than those in Eretz Yisrael because the birds there were never exiled. The Moadim in Bavel are more joyous for the community in Bavel because they were not included in the curse of those living in Eretz Yisrael about diminished simcha on the holidays. The Talmidei Chachamim of Bavel adorn themselves in fine clothing because they're not native to the locale and therefore they distinguish themselves in dress. And the reason that Ovdei Chachamim are impure is that they didn't stand at Har Sinai to accept the Torah, for when Klai Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, the Zehuma, the impurity that the Nachash cast into Chava, was removed. So once again, the three topics are number one. The Gemara brings the Malchokas and Moraim regarding squeezing pickled vegetables. Rav and Shmuel hold that the Malacha Mefarik of extracting only applies to liquids that originally grew within the food. Therefore, squeezing pickled vegetables to get the liquid is only forbidden to do midrabanan, lest one comes to squeeze olives and grapes. Rabbi Yochanan holds that one is liable for extracting a beverage even if it didn't originally come into existence within the fruit. Therefore, he says, one would be chai v'chatas for mefarik if one squeezed pickled vegetables for their liquid. As part of this discussion, there's an additional malchokas between Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan regarding squeezing boiled vegetables. Point number two is taught in the Braisa regarding testimony. Ein eid mefi eid kasher ela eidus ishul bavad. A single witness that acquired his information from the mouth of a second single witness is not valid except with regard to testifying to the marital status of a woman. Rav Asi says that a single second-hand witness is also permitted to testify that a blemish in a bechor developed on its own and was not inflicted by a kohen who sought to make the meat permissible to consume. The Gemara asks that the above Braisa states that a single second-hand witness may only testify about the status of a married woman. So the Braisa was amended to read, Le'edus sha'isha kasher la bilvad, except for testimony that a woman is also permitted to make, meaning that an eid mefi eid may testify about any situation that a woman is permitted to testify about, and a woman is allowed to testify about a bechor. And point number three, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba asked Rabbi Asi questions. Rabbi Asi answered them while Rabbi Yochanan was dozing. Rabbi Yochanan awoke, he rejected the answers given and provided his own. He explained, the birds in Bavel are fatter than those in Eretz Yisrael because the birds there were never exiled. The Moadim in Bavel are more joyous to the community in Bavel because they weren't included in the curse of those living in Eretz Yisrael about diminished simcha on the holidays. The Talmidei Chachamim of Bavel adorn themselves in fine clothing because they're not native to the locale and therefore they distinguish themselves in dress. And the reason that Ovdei Chachamim are impure is that they did not stand at Har Sinai to accept the Torah, for when Klai Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, the Zehuma, the impurity that Nachash cast into Chava, was removed. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Kuf Mem He, and a lot of people suggested variations of wheat, wheat field, wheat stalks, standing grain based on Kama from Kisiris HaOmer, the standing grain. So we're going to use wheat field as our sim for Kuf Mem He. Kuf Mem He will be a wheat field. So thank you everybody for suggestions, and here goes. The outlaws illegally extracting juice from pickled vegetables in the middle of the wheat field were convicted based on secondhand testimony from a finely dressed scholar from the land of fatter birds. Once again, in slow motion. the outlaws illegally extracting juice from pickled vegetables in the middle of the wheat field. Wheat field? That must mean we're on Duff Kuf Mem Hey. The outlaws illegally extracting juice from pickled vegetables in the middle of the wheat field, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Malchokas Amorim regarding squeezing pickled vegetables. Rav and Shmuel hold that in the Malachim Mepharik, extracting only applies to liquids that originally grew within the food. Therefore, squeezing pickled vegetables to get the liquid is only forbidden to do midrabanan, lest one comes to squeeze olives and grapes. Rav Yochanan holds that one is liable for extracting a beverage even if it didn't originally come into existence within the fruit. Therefore, he says one would be chai v'chatas for Mepharik if one squeezed pickled vegetables for their liquid. As part of this discussion, there's an additional malchokas between Rav Shmuel and Rav Yochanan regarding squeezing boiled vegetables. So the outlaws illegally extracting juice from pickled vegetables in the middle of the wheat field were convicted based on secondhand testimony, which reminds us, it was taught in a brace regarding testimony. Ein eid mafia eid kasher ela la'edus isha bovad. A single witness that acquires information from the mouth of a second single witness is not valid except with regard to testifying to the marital status of a woman. Rav Asi says that a single secondhand witness is also permitted to testify that a blemish in a bechor developed on its own and was not inflicted by a kohen who sought to make the meat permissible to consume. The Gemara asks that the above brace states that a single secondhand witness may only testify about the status of a married woman. So the brace was amended to read, La'edus shahi'isha kasher la bilvad, except for a testimony that a woman is also permitted to make, meaning that an eid mafi eid may testify about any situation that a woman is permitted to testify about, and a woman is allowed to testify about a bechor. So the outlaws illegally extracting juice from pickled vegetables in the middle of the wheat field were convicted based on secondhand testimony from a finely dressed scholar from the land of fatter birds. Which reminds us, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba asked Rabbi Asi questions, and Rabbi Asi answered them while Rabbi Yochanan was dozing. When Rabbi Yochanan awoke, he rejected the answers given and provided his own. He explained, the birds in Bavel are fatter than those in Eretz Yisrael because the birds there were never exiled. The Moadim in Bavel are more joyous for the community in Bavel because they were not included, and a curse to those living in Eretz Yisrael about diminished simcha on the holidays. The Talmidei Chachamim of Bavel adorn themselves in fine clothing because they're not native to the locale and therefore distinguish themselves in dress. And the reason why Ovdei Kochavim are impure is that they didn't stand at Har Sinai to accept the Torah. For when Klal Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, the impurity that the Nachash cast into Chava was removed. So once again, the outlaws illegally extracting juice from pickled vegetables in the middle of the wheat field were convicted based on secondhand testimony from a finely dressed scholar from the land of fatter birds. Now it's time for Forba Bach Hazara. Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. So the Simfer Kuf Mem Aleph is a first place winner. So here goes. The first place winner, that must mean Ron Duff, Kuf Mem Aleph. The first place winner in the Abba has to babysit contest, who taught his children how to crush peppers with the handle of a knife, which reminds us, crushing produce into very small pieces is prohibited because of the malach of tochen, grinding. But Yudah said that one is permitted to crush peppers as long as it's done one at a time and the crushing is done with the handle of a knife. Doing the action of crushing with these two changes from the normal way permitted. Rava disagrees and says that even if one deviates from the normal manner by using the handle of the knife, he may crush even many peppers at one time. So the first place winner in the Abba has to babysit contest, who taught his children how to crush peppers with the handle of a knife and to dry off before coming out of the water, which reminds Rav Yudah said that one who is bathing in a stream of water on Shabbos should dry himself before getting out, lest he come to carry the water on his body, Dalet Amos, on the banks of the water, which is a Carmelis. The Gemara said, if this is so, then it should be prohibited from him to enter the water as well. Because when he does, the force of his entry pushes the water away for a distance of Dalet Amos in the sea, which is also a Carmelis. The Gemara answer is, Kocha b'Carmelis l'gazru. The Rabban did not decree against transferring through one's force in a Carmelis. So the first place winner in the Abba has to babysit contest, who taught his children how to crush peppers with the handle of a knife and to dry off before coming out of the water, was disqualified when it turns out he carried his child with a pouch suspended from his neck. Which reminds us, Rav has said that if one took out a live child into Rosh Hashanah with a pouch suspended from his neck, he's chai because of the pouch. The Gemara asks why the father is not chai for carrying the child as well, and answers that Rav holds like Rabbi Nassim, who says, a chai nois et atzmo, a living being supports its own weight. The Gemara then asks why the person's chayv at all, since one should view the pouch as an accessory to the child, similar to the ruling that if one carries an alive person on a bed, he's pater even for the bed, since it's tafel, it's secondary to the person. The Gemara answers, mito gabi chay mevatele, a bed is considered an accessory to a living person because it's serving him, whereas the pouch is not considered an accessory to the child, since it's just an extraneous object he's using as a toy. Daf Kuf Mem Beis, so the simple Kuf Mem Beis is a comb, so here goes. the door-to-door salesman who showed how his wonder combs, that must be more on Duff Koofman base. The door-to-door salesman who showed how his wonder combs could wedge stones into basket holes, which reminds of the Mishnah on Duff Koofman Aleph Amud Bey stated that one may move a basket with a stone in it. The Gemara asks why the person should be able to move the basket, since it should be considered a basis l'davar aser, a base to a forbidden object, thereby giving the basket the same muksa status as the stone. An initial suggestion made is that the basket is primarily filled with produce, which would make it a basis to a permitted object, thereby permitting to move it. The Gemara rejects the suggestion, since the produce and stone could be easily spilled out of the basket, and then the produce could be returned to the basket. So Rabbi Eli said in the name of Rav that in this case, the produce cannot be spilled out, because it is produce that would become soiled and ruined if it were spilled out. Rashi brings us the examples of ripe figs, berries, or grapes. The Gemara questions this answer as well and says that it would still be technically possible to shake the basket until only the stone fell out. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi in the name of Rav offers an alternative answer that we're dealing with a case where the stone is filling a hole in the basket and thereby the stone is considered part of the basket and not considered muksa. So the door-to-door salesman who showed how his wonder combs could wedge stones into basket holes and shake pillows with money on top, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one left money on a pillow, one may shake the pillow so that the money falls off. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said in the name of Rav that one may only shake the pillow in a situation of shocheach, i.e. that one forgot that he placed the money there. But in a case of maniach, where one intentionally left the money there, the pillow becomes a basis and may not be moved. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that one is only required to shake the money off with tzarach gufo when the pillow is needed for the sake of its use. But in a case of tzarach makomo, when the pillow needs to be moved because one needs its place, one may move the pillow with the money on it. So the door-to-door salesman who showed how his wonder combs could wedge stones into basket holes and shake pillows with money on top admitted that moving a forgotten purse in a courtyard still needed a baby. Which reminds us, Rabbi Oshia said that if one forgot a purse containing money in a courtyard where it's unprotected, he may place a loaf of bread or young child upon it and move it. Two other Amoraim state similar rulings. Rav Ashi said that the dispensation for moving muksa by placing a loaf of bread or a young child upon it is only permitted in the case of placing it on top of a corpse in order to move it. Rashi explains that this is permitted because of kavod abrius, preserving human dignity, such as in this case where the corpse is lying in the sun. Daf Kufmem Gimel. So the Sefer Kufmem Gimel is a Krav Maga master. And once again, Krav Maga is an Israeli form of self-defense. So the Krav Maga master, that must be on Daf Kufmem Gimel. The Krav Maga master who could chop a table in half to remove bones and husks, which reminds us, the last mission in the Perek states that Beis Shammai says, Mavirin me'al shulchan atzamos v'klipin, we may remove bones and husks from the table by hand, whereas Beis Hillel says, Mesal kezatav l'kulo min'ara, one must take up the entire table board and shake it clean, but not handle the bones and husks by hand. Rashi explains that the bones and husks are not fit to be eaten by animals. Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon, who does not apply muksa laws broadly, and therefore the bones and husks can be moved. Beis Hillel holds that they are muksa and therefore only permit moving the non-muksa table. Rav Nachman in the Gemara states that this Mishnah should not be relied upon, and in fact, the opinion should be reversed, with Beis Shammai ruling more stringently like Rabbi Yehuda, and Beis Hillel more leniently like Rabbi Shimon. So the Krav Maga master who could chop a table in half to remove bones and husks, using a sponge with a handle, which reminds us, the Gemara notes a contradiction in the Mishnah. The Mishnah states that one may remove Seir She'afunim V'Seir Adashim, pea pods and lentil pods, Mifneshu Machu Behema, because they are fit to be used as animal fodder. This ruling goes according to Rabbi Shimon, who does not apply muksa laws broadly, and not like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that food designated for humans, as these foods were when Shabbos began, that becomes animal food after the edible part was eaten on Shabbos, is prohibited due to nolad. However, the next statement in the Mishnah says that one may use a sponge with a handle, but if there is no handle, it may not be used as water will be squeezed out of it when using it. This would seem to be going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds davar sheino miskaven aser. Doing a malacha act unintentionally is forbidden, as here he would be inadvertently squeezing out water. So the Gemara answers that even Rabbi Shimon would concede that using a sponge without a handle is prohibited. For Abai and Rava both teach that Rabbi Shimon agrees that an act is forbidden b'psik reish v'olyamus in a case where the consequence is inevitable. So the Krav Maga master who could chop a table in half to remove bones and husks using a sponge with a handle would only drink liquids that ooze out of fruit that were stored for eating. Which reminds, the opening mission of the 22nd Perek introduces a machlokas about squeezing fruits to extract the liquid from them. Rashi explains that the malach of squeezing fruits is mefarik, extracting, which is a tolda of dash, of threshing. The Tanakhama holds that one may not squeeze the fruits to extract the liquid from them, and even liquid that oozes out on its own is prohibited midrabanan. Rashi says that the reason that it's prohibited is that one may come to do it l'chadchila. Rav Yehuda says that liquid that oozes out of fruit that was stored for eating is permitted. Rashi explains that since he's not pleased that the liquid is oozing out, there's no reason to decree that it's prohibited to drink, since he's unlikely to come to take a fruit which is stored for eating and intentionally squeeze out its juice. Daf Kuf Mem Dalet. So the symbol Kuf Mem Dalet is a comedian. So here goes. The comedian, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Mem Dalet. The comedian impersonated a clumsy juice salesman with olive oil oozing out of his basket's thumb, which reminds us, a brisa was brought in Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, in which Rebbe Yehuda stated that liquids that ooze from mulberries or pomegranates that were stored stum for no stated purpose are prohibited. The Gemara brings a brisa that states that liquids flowing from olives and grapes in baskets, not to the satisfaction of the owner, are tahorim, since they're not legally considered a beverage. And the Gemara assumes that not to the satisfaction of the owner means stum, no specific intent. So Gemara asks, if olives and grapes, which are generally designated for squeezing, are not considered a beverage if there was no specific intent, then why should Rebbe Yehuda prohibit mulberries and pomegranates, which are not typically designated for squeezing, if there was no specific intent? So the Gemara has two answers, one being that in the case of the olive and grapes that are placed in baskets, the owner is mafker, he abandons the juice from the start, since it usually seeps through the holes and is lost. Therefore, the liquid is not considered a beverage and the fruits are tahorim. In the case of the mulberries and pomegranates, however, the fruits are sealed in containers, and we can presume that the owner wants the emergence of the liquid to use as a juice, and therefore they are considered a beverage. So the comedian impersonated a clumsy juice salesman with olive oil oozing out of his basket's thumb, attempting to squeeze beets into a mikvah, which reminds us there's a machlokes amoraim regarding why squeezing beet juice into a mikvah puzzles the mikvah. Rav Chisda says that even though beets are not typically squeezed, since one squeezes it, it gives the juice significance as a beverage and disqualifies the mikvah if its color changes the mikvah's appearance. Only beverages can disqualify mikvahs. Rav Papa holds that only juices that are commonly squeezed attain the status of a beverage. The reason why the beet juice disqualifies the mikvah is kol davar shein osi mimenu mikvah chadchila posel as a mikvah mishum shinui mara. Any substance from which one may not initially make a mikvah will invalidate the mikvah by causing a change in the appearance of the water. So the comedian person, a clumsy juice salesman, with olive oil oozing out of his basket's thumb, attempting to squeeze beets into a mikvah after he kept missing trying to squeeze grapes into a bowl. Which reminds Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Socher adam eshkol shel anavi motocha kadera avalo tocha ka'ara. A person may squeeze a cluster of grapes into a pot of food on Shabbos, but not into a bowl. The Gemara states that we see that Shmuel holds, mashka abal ocho ochel, a beverage extracted for use in food, is itself regarded as food. As Rashi explains, he's not chayav from mefarik, extracting, since mefarik is only prohibited when extracting a beverage from a food. And in this case, where you're extracting the liquid to improve the second food, it's considered extracting food from fruit. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions in the second. Brachas number 1. Which stuff we learned when Ada's aid mefi aid, secondary testimony, is valid? That's on Duff. Kufmem Hay. Good. Number 2. Which stuff we have a machlokas? Why a mikvah becomes pasul when beets are squeezed into it? That's on Duff. Kufmem Dal. Good. Number 3. Which stuff we have a machlokas regarding how many changes one must make when doing tochein on Shabbos? That's on Duff. Kufmem Aleph. Good. Number 4. Which stuff we learned that soaking chiltos in water on Shabbos is a problem because of uvda the chol? That's on Duff. Kuf Mem. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you learn that squeezing grapes onto food into a bowl is mutter and not considered mefarik? That's on Duff. Kuf Mem Dalet. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you learn that Rabbi Shimon agrees that one can't use a sponge without a handle because of psik resha? That's on Duff. Kuf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do you learn that a stone wedged in to fill a basket hole is not muksa? That's on Duff. Kufmem Beis. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you learn that one is allowed to rub freshly laundered linen shirts to soften? That's on Duff. Kufmem. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we have machlokas regarding squeezing pickled vegetables? That's on Duff. Kufmem Hay. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do we have machlokas regarding when and how to shake a pillow to move money that's on it? That's on Duff. Kufman Bays. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions from Masechus Brachas. Which stuff do we discuss the bracha of Asher Yetzar? That's on Duff. Samech. Good. Number 2. We should have to learn Ein Osi Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos, and therefore we shouldn't have two different topics in the same Chasim of a Bracha. That's on Daf Mem Tes. Good. And final question number three. We should have to learn about the Shalosh Matanos Tovos that were given to Klal Yisrael by Yisurin. That's on Daf. Hey, great. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron. Wishing you a great day and great learning.